Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The biggest problem facing our nation is not immigration, but it's man's imagination. Now, I'm not belittling the immigration issues that we're having and all the turmoil that's taking place in our government and things concerning this subject. However, man's imagination is more of an issue than immigration, because the imagination is responsible for all kinds of problems. The problems of mankind starts in the imagination. The whole world was destroyed back in the days of Noah because, for one, because of man's imagination. It says in Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So God was seeing that man's thoughts, man's imagination was evil continuously, and that's what ended up bringing about judgment upon the earth in the form of a flood. It was because of man's imagination. It's man's imagination that causes there to be all kinds of problems in the world. It's what causes there to be all kinds of problems in each person's individual life. So we've got to get a hold of our mind. Unlawful and illegal thoughts are crossing the border of people's minds every day. Thoughts must enter legally through the Word of God. Everything that comes into our mind must be checked with the Word of God. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 in the King James Version. It says, "Casting down imaginations." This is part of our spiritual warfare. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." You can say every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Or we could say to the obedience of God's word. Because God's word reveals Christ to us. We don't know Christ apart from the word of God. So we need to bring every thought, all these imaginations that come against the mind that are contrary to Christ or contrary to the word of God, anti-Christ thoughts. In other words, thoughts that go against Christ, that go against what Christ would do, what Christ would have us to do. Those kind of thoughts need to be dealt with. You cannot allow your thought life to just spiral out of control. You can't allow all kinds of unlawful and illegal thoughts enter into your mind. Why? Because it will destroy your life. We need to put a good imagination system in place. And yes, we need to build. We need to build the wall around our mind. What wall? The wall of the word. The wall of the word. Amen. We see that over in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and in verse 28. It says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Notice that. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit. How many people know your own spirit is the unseen part of you? It's the unseen part of your life. And of course, the imagination is a part of your thought life. And it's in the unseen. Nobody sees it except the one that's imagining. And so that part of us, we need to have rule over. We need to rule over our thought life. To not rule over our imagination, to not rule over our thought life, is to be like a city broken down without walls. Just open. Open to the enemy to be able to come in and cause all kinds of problems in our life. And the enemy is causing all kinds of problems in people's lives. And why is he able to do it? Because he's got free access to their thought life. To their thought life. And that's how he affects all the other areas of their life. The ERV translation of Proverbs 25 reads it this way. People who cannot control themselves are like cities without walls to protect them. We need to have self-control. But it's not just self-control or self-restraint in physical things. We think about self-control. We think about, you know, I'm not going to eat that chocolate. I'm not going to eat this thing. I'm going to have self-control in these natural things. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch that anymore. I'm going to listen to that anymore. That's great. But you also need to have self-control in the area of your imagination. Controlling our lives starts with controlling our thoughts, specifically our imagination. Remember, we talked about imagination. The definition of it is the ability of the mind to be creative or resourceful, to envision, visualize, picture something, to be able to visualize something in your mind, picture something, forming images in the mind. We also saw that the word imagination in some areas where it's used in the Word of God means frame, things framed. And we talked about how what you're framing in your imagination is your future construction project. What's your framing? What's the blueprints that you're laying out and drawing in your mind is your future construction project. See? Now, we're not just talking about a casual thought here and there, but we're talking about things that people allow themselves to constantly think on and dwell on. Those are things that they're eventually going to act out in one form or the other, if the opportunity makes itself available to them. Why? Because they've been rehearsing, they've been thinking, they've been meditating on it so that it just becomes a reaction. Well, we need to meditate and think on the right things, like living right, living according to the Word of God, so it becomes a reaction. That's why God gave us an imagination. It's for good things, not to tear down, not to destroy. It's not to be used for evil. We need to understand that. The imagination is not a bad thing. We need to use it. It helps us to plan and to envision things. When we read the Word of God, we need to envision what the Word of God is saying. We need to think on it, meditate on it, and see what the Word of God is saying. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now stop right there. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. This word consider is not something casual. It literally means to fix your mind upon until you clearly see. That's what it means to consider. To fix your mind upon until you clearly see. So when he says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, we need to fix our mind on that. Fix our mind on him. Fix our mind on him. See him as your high priest. See him watching over the words of your mouth. We need to see Jesus. We need to see the Word of God. How can you clearly see him? In your imagination. You can have a vision of him on the inside of you. God's Word is a vision from God, if we'll let our imagination get involved in it. See, a lot of times folks use their imagination for all kinds of things, but then we come over to something like the Word of God and we just read it. And we really don't look and fix our mind on what we're reading until we clearly see it. We don't really engage the imagination when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to evil things, when it comes to negative things, when it comes to fearful things, people's imaginations are fixed. And they're clearly seeing all kinds of things. All kinds of things that are contrary to the Word of God. So we can't let that happen. We've got to take control of our imagination. Because again, it's going to affect our walk. It's going to affect our walk. We see that with the children of Israel. Let me just read a few scriptures to you. Jeremiah chapter 7. Matter of fact, they're all in Jeremiah, so you could turn to it. We can move through it pretty quick. Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. In verse 24, it says, "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts." Now that word dictates, when you look it up, can also be translated imagination. So they followed the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart and went backwards and not forwards. Notice their actions followed the counsel that they were receiving in their imagination. The things that they were thinking on, they ended up following. They followed it. Jeremiah chapter 11. Verse 8 in the King James. I'm normally reading from the New King James. But if you were to read from the old King James, the original King James, it would read this, Jeremiah 11:8. "Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart." Notice that. "But walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart." So first there was the evil imagination, and then there was the walk. So they walked out what was in their imagination. So you got to watch what's going on in your imagination, because you'll eventually walk it out. So in other words, if you don't see yourself actually doing something in the natural because it's contrary to God, then don't see yourself doing it, period. Don't see yourself doing it in your mind. Jeremiah 13, verse 10 in the King James, original King James. It says, "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their evil heart." Notice, walk in what? What they've been imagining. We see that again. Jeremiah 16, verse 12, King James again. "And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." What people are imagining, what people are allowing them to think on, is affecting their ability to be led by the Spirit of God. It's affecting their ability to hearken unto the Lord, to follow God. People have such a hard time following God because of what they allow themselves to think on. So we see there's so many scriptures in the Word of God talking about the imagination, because it's a very important part of our life. We'll walk after the things that we're imagining. In other words, the things we're meditating on, the things we're envisioning, the things we're thinking. We want to have a vision, a God-sized vision. We want to have a vision of God's plan for our life. And boy, has He given us vision. I said, God has given us vision. He has given us His word. There's no excuse why you and I can't have vision. Right? And the Bible says, "Perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on Him." Those who keep their mind on Him. Those that imagine God. Those who think on Him have perfect peace. Perfect peace. And that's what you and I want in life. Isn't that right? How many people want perfect peace? Perfect peace. So we need God's word, and thank God He's given it to us so that we can have the right kind of imaginations. Again, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. He says, "For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds." That word minds can also be translated imagination. "I'll put my word in their imagination and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." So as we get in the Word of God, God wants his word. He wants to draw pictures. He wants to put vision. He wants to imprint in our imagination his word, his way of thinking, his way of doing things, so that you and I will walk in it and have victory in life. If we're not thinking on it, we're not going to walk in it. What you think on is what you're going to walk in. So you got to watch what you think on. And there's a lot of people out there that have some pretty grotesque imaginations. They're called movie producers. They got a disgusting imagination. And then they have the audacity to pay people to act out their imagination. And the really sick thing about it is that people pay money to sit down and watch people act out someone's disgusting imagination. I mean, gruesome things. All kinds of horrific things. And people pay all kinds of money to sit there and watch somebody's imagination be on display. That's television land. That's movie land. So here we are. We need to be guarding our minds, protecting our imagination. It's going to be hard to do that if you sit down and you're going to watch some wicked person's imagination in full color right there in front of you. It's quite obvious you're not taking your imagination serious, because you're allowing their images to get in your mind. And we need to guard our mind from those kind of images. We need to see God's images, godly images. Get a vision, because those things are putting a vision in you. That's why they call it television, because they're giving you a vision. But do you want that vision? If you take your imagination serious and understand that through it, you're either going to have a victorious, successful life or a degrading, debased life, a deteriorating life. If you understand that, you're not going to just sit there and allow yourself to be entertained by somebody's psychotic imagination. If it wasn't for the Word of God, man's imagination would continue to experience deterioration. It would continue to get worse and worse and worse. Romans chapter 1, Romans 1:21, in the King James, original King James, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they became vain in their imagination, vain imaginations, and as a result, their heart got darker and darker and duller to God, duller and duller to him. I don't want to have a dull heart. I don't want to be in the dark. I want a heart full of light. Amen? I want to be full of light. I want to be able to see clearly. But this is what happens. They knew God, yet... So this is like Christians. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. They didn't give him the glory. They didn't give him the praise. They didn't acknowledge him. They didn't think on him. They didn't meditate on him. They didn't imagine him. Instead, they began to have vain imaginations. Vain, not God imaginations, vain imaginations. And as a result of that, their hearts were darkened. Now, if they did the opposite, if people would do the opposite of that, if they would meditate, think on God, if they would imagine God, then their hearts wouldn't be darkened. Their hearts would get brighter and brighter. Because if your heart can get darkened by vain imaginations, then it can be brightened by godly imaginations. Having a godly imagination is going to be able to see greater and greater and greater. It's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. And clearer. Things are going to get brighter and brighter and brighter unto the noonday, you know, in the Psalms. That's how it's supposed to be. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Things get brighter and clearer unto the noonday on the inside of you. It's always like noon It's not like midnight. It's not full of darkness in there. It's full of light. Ephesians chapter 4 talks more about this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, as the rest of the heathen walk. I don't know God. You no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." In the futility of their mind. "Having their understanding darkened." That word understanding, if you look it up in the original language, can also be translated imagination. "Having their imagination darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." If you think on ignorant things, you become ignorant. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Oh, it's just a thought. If you think on ignorant things, you become ignorant. That's what the Bible teaches us. "Having their understanding," having their imagination darkened. Now watch this. "Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart." So notice, being disconnected from God causes them to become darkened, causes their understanding to be dark, their imagination to become dark, sinister-like, you know. But also, by having their imagination darkened, they are becoming more and more alienated from God. They're becoming more and more cut off from Him. Think about that. Our imagination can alienate us from God. Now, why could our imagination alienate us from God? Because if our thoughts are contrary to Him, then our thoughts are offensive to Him. If our thoughts are contrary to Him, our thoughts are offensive to Him. And remember, God sees. God sees. Remember Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was evil continually. God sees the imagination. And so if we have evil imagination, even though we might have good works, if we have an evil imagination, then that can alienate us from God, alienate us from the blessing of God. That's how serious it is. Colossians 1 and verse 21. "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind," that word mind can be also translated imagination. "You who once were alienated enemies in your imagination by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled." So again, we see being alienated and enemies in your mind. Our minds need to be friendly to God. We need to have an imagination that brings us close to God, that doesn't make us enemies of God. The mind can make us enemies of God. Well, it's just a thought. It's just in my mind. Yeah, God sees it though. And if you wouldn't allow it in your life, why are you allowing it in your thought life? He told you what to do with it. He said, cast it down. And He said, renew your mind with the word of God. See, it's not enough just for us to be saved. We need to renew our mind. We need to change the way we think. We need to get control of our thought life with God's word. Put God's word in there. Be aggressive about it. Casting down imaginations. I mean, that isn't casual. Right? That isn't casual at all, man. That's intense. Cast the thing down. He didn't say lay it down gently. He didn't say place it down somewhere. He says cast it down. Now, I could illustrate this right now. I could have someone come up here right now and illustrate casting someone down. But I won't do that tonight. I'll let your imagination picture me doing that to Brother David. How many people can see it already? Do you see the sweep kick? Knock his legs out from underneath him. It's not nice. It's not pretty. I didn't lay him down. I cast him down. Or those wrestlers, you know. See, it's not something that's casual. This is how we got to live. We got to live this way. Intense. On top of it. Not going to tolerate it. Amen. We got a God-fearing mind. We got a mind that's a friend of God. Our mind is God-friendly. It's God-friendly. It's not an enemy of God. Romans chapter 2. Let's do verse 11. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. They show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God judges the secrets of men, not just man's actions. He's talking about, in its context, thoughts. Thoughts that will either excuse you or accuse you before God. This is how important it is. Thoughts are going to come up on Judgment Day. Thoughts that have not been dealt with. Thoughts that have not been repented of. Thoughts that have not been washed in the blood of Jesus. Thoughts that have not been cast down. Thoughts that have been allowed to run loose in a person's mind. Those things are going to come up. These secrets, secret thoughts are going to come up before God. Let's look at it again. Verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing. What's playing on the, you know, your imagination is kind of like a big movie screen. You know? What's playing at a theater near you? Let's go see the show. What kind of show is playing in your imagination? The work of the law. The work of the word. Praise God. That's what's playing at a theater near me. Amen. Praise God. Who show? We're talking about going to the show. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts. There's a show going on in that heart. Isn't there? Their conscience also bearing witness. Praise God. God wants to come to the show. Hallelujah. God, come to the show. You can get in for free. Let God come to the show. Sit and watch it. The devil doesn't want to come to my show. The devil shouldn't want to come to the show that's playing in your imagination. The devil should be like, I don't want to watch this. This is scary. This is scary. This guy's always thinking about me being thrown in the lake of fire. This is horrible. I don't want to go watch this. I don't want to watch this. Let's get out of here. They won't stick around. It's true. Devil comes and says stuff, and I start thinking about it. I start thinking, you know, someday you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Wow. That's going to be a rough time. He runs out of the movie theater. Ah! Every mind is a movie theater. Every mind is a movie theater. Let's play things that the Holy Spirit comes to watch. And devils cannot watch. They do not want to see that. That is tormenting. That is tormenting. Between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the word of God, according to the gospel. Praise God. So thank God for the word. that we can get our mind in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the right kind of thoughts. And again, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. If you look up the word thoughts in the original language, it means reasoning and imagination. Imagination. So again, their reasonings, their imagination, excusing them or accusing them. We don't want our imagination accusing us. We want it excusing us, right? Confirming to us that we're children of God. We think God thoughts. We're godly people. That doesn't mean evil thoughts aren't going to come, but he told you what to do with them. Don't sit there, I still have evil thoughts. Cast it down. Don't sit there, whine about it. He didn't say, get uptight and whine about it when you have an evil thought. He said, I've got what you can do with it. Cast it down. Take the word of God and whack it. Whack it with the word. Speak the word to it. Knock it down. Cast it down. Put the word in its place. Say, dear God, that don't come in here. Jesus' name, we have no fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us something that God, the Lord, hates. Proverbs 6 verse 16. It says, these six things the Lord hates. How many want to know what the Lord hates? He hates these things. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Number one, a proud look and a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Devises can also mean invent or create. A heart that invents or creates wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Watch about talking bad about fellow brothers in the Lord. It's an abomination to God. He absolutely abhors it. He hates it. He hates it. So these are things he hates. So these are things we must make sure that we don't participate in. Right? We're not going to have proud, haughty looks. We're not going to lie. We're not going to shed innocent blood. We're not going to create and invent and devise wicked plans. Now, the original King James Version says it this way, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. A heart that devises, creates, invents wicked imaginations. The Lord hates it. Think about that. He hates it. I mean, this is something that means, this should mean a lot to us. This should be very important to us. The Lord hates a mind that invents and creates wicked imaginations. He hates it. Over in Luke chapter 1, Luke the first chapter, in verse 51, it says, he, talking about God, he hath showed, and I'm reading, obviously, King James. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Notice that. He hates wicked imaginations. He hates proudful looks, right? Notice he says, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Scattered. Scattered. I looked up that word scattered. It means several things, but it means waste. Dissipate. There's some waste away. Dissipate. Which is to decrease, diminish. Notice. He hath diminished the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's diminished them. A proud imagination, prideful imagination, prideful thoughts can cause a person to be diminished in life rather than increased and blessed. Think about that. What people are imagining can actually disqualify them in life, disqualify them from God's blessing. could scatter them. There's a lot of folks that are scattered. And it's because of what? Because of their imagination. Their imagination, the imaginations of their heart are getting them in trouble. God hates what he's seeing. He doesn't like what's being played out on the movie theater screen. It's an abomination to him. And so many people, many Christians live a scattered life, very scattered. How many people know we're not to live scattered? Right? We're to be gathered, unified, strong, prospering, right? Blessed. Things getting better, not worse. Things getting stronger, not wasting away, breaking down, falling apart. Talking about your life. Better and better and better. How many people want it better and better and better? Take charge of the mind. Take charge of the mind. You're a movie producer. Produce good movies. Be a good producer. Only G-rated movies. G for God. Exactly. Godliness. G for godliness. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, you know, again, we got to make sure we're passing tests in life. Not just in the natural, but in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. We got to make sure we're passing tests. We want to be promoted. How many people want to be promoted? I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be pushed back. I don't want to be diminished. I want to be promoted in God's kingdom. I want to advance. I want to hear from God. I want to have a close relationship. I want to be a friend of God. But we got to pass tests in life. We got to be obedient to him in all things. And that includes in our minds as well. How many people are getting a hold of how important the mind is? They're saying, how many people are like, whoa, I didn't know the mind was this important. That's why we need the Word of God to teach us these things, to show us these things. It's very important. This is a big part of why people have so many problems in life, because they don't know how important it is. So they're not really doing what the Bible says and casting things down and imagining and fixing their mind on until they clearly see Jesus Christ, until they clearly see the Word of God. And so as a result, they're scattered, weary, and got all kinds of issues in life. But God is testing us. Psalm 17, verse 3. The psalmist said, you have tested my heart. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. Don't you like that? How'd you like to say that? God has tested me. He has visited me in the night. What do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about when you're sleeping. And what goes on in people's minds when they're sleeping. They have something called dreams, which is what? It's the imagination. They're having visioning, they're picturing, they're seeing all kinds of things. There's all kinds of movies being played out in their mind. God comes and visits in the night. He visits those dreams. I love this. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Let me read this from the Contemporary English Bible. It says, you have examined my heart, testing me at night. You've looked me over closely, but haven't found anything wrong. You haven't found anything wrong. Is it possible for God not to find anything wrong? Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Now let's go to Micah chapter 2. Continue talking about dreams, imaginations in the night, night imaginations, unless you sleep in the daytime. Micah chapter 2, verse 1, it says, woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Now think about that for a second. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work evil on their beds. What do you mean you're devising iniquity and working evil? I mean, when I go to bed, I go to sleep. Don't you? I mean, usually it's not in the bedroom where you roll out the blueprints and start to do all kinds of work. That's usually when you go to sleep. You see, he's talking about the mind. He's talking about the imagination. Working things out in the mind. The CSB translation. Woe to those who dream up wickedness. Woe to those who dream up wickedness and prepare evil plans on their beds. At morning light, they accomplish it because the power is in their hands. Now, again, you might have an evil dream. You know, the devil can infiltrate people's dreams. He could come and put imaginations in people's mind while they're sleeping. But what do you do with it? Come morning light, what do you do? Do you go out and work this thing out and continue to think on it? No, what do you do? If it's from the devil, what do? You cast it down with the word of God. You cast it down with the word of God. Amen? Job chapter 33, just putting all these together concerning dreams. God wants to get in. How many know if the devil can get in and mess with your mind, put vain imaginations in there, God can get in there. Put all kinds of wonderful visions in your mind. Well, if he likes to do that, notice what he says over in Job 33, verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, he calls a dream a vision of the night. That's what a dream is, a vision of the night. When deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. So God wants to get in there and he wants to put his imagination. So before you go to bed at night, instead of sitting there watching somebody get shot up or hearing some kind of wicked list of evil things that happened today around the world, so that you go to sleep and your mind is wide open. There's no walls. There's no border. There's no control. Everything's wide open. And you go to sleep. And the enemy just comes in and he starts putting his little visions in your head. People wake up and have all kinds of dreams. Some people wake up more worn out than they were before they went to bed, because they've been running all night from the devil. Kicking and tossing and turning. Amen. Eyes going back and forth. In that deep sleep, you know. No, bless God, go to bed right. I say go to bed right. Before I lie in bed, I usually kneel down on the floor. Get down before God. Humble yourself before him. Commit everything to him. Worship him. Right? Speak the word over your life. Speak the word over your house. Not in fear. You just do it, and then you go to bed. So when I lie down, my sleep will be sweet. And no evil will befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. You sleep sweet sleep. Sweet sleep. Praise God. Sweet sleep means sweet dreams. Right? If you're having sweet sleep, that means you're having sweet dreams. Can you have sweet dreams? Sure, you can have sweet dreams. So again, you know, not all dreams mean something. But a lot of times people do dream because they do have wild and crazy dreams because of how they've been talking and how they've been thinking in life. Many times they take a lot of fear, a lot of different kind of thoughts to bed that are contrary to the word of God. They didn't deal with it. They didn't get it right with God before they went to sleep, and then they go to sleep and then they start having all kinds of crazy dreams. In fact, you know, we just saw a scripture where it talked about, he says in Psalm 17:3, you have tested my heart, you have visited me in that. I want to pass those night tests, don't you? I want to pass those night tests. I want everything good going on in there. God visits me, it's like, oh, wow, great things are going on in here. Hallelujah. I know brother Kenneth Hagin talks about when he had an accident with his elbow years back while he was preaching. It's in his book, I Believe in Visions. And he was on a strong anesthetic, and so he was unconscious. But the whole time he was unconscious under the drugs, he was. I think the word of God was, he was quoting the word of God. They just said the whole time, the word of God was just coming out of his mouth. That's pretty good, isn't it? You're unconscious and the word of God's just coming out of your mouth. Psalm 17, I'm 3. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Hallelujah, I love those waters. Right? You ever stop and actually think about it? Praise God. Just good things coming out. Good things coming out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he said here in Psalm 73, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. So he's talking about dreams, right? Then he says, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So there's a connection between your talking and having dreams. And we'll close with this. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for because a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Now, I know there's some other translations that make it sound totally different. But that's why I stay with the New King James, mostly, because if it was good for Paul the Apostle, it's good enough for me. Some of you will catch on to that later. For a dream comes. For a dream. Now, notice he's talking about words, the multitude of words. And he says, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Many words can create all kinds of crazy dreams. And then he says in verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. So notice, words, so we go back to Psalm 17, and he says, I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress, and that is caused him to have dreams that are pleasing to God. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. So because I'm watching what's coming out of my mouth, when I go to sleep at night, my dreams are pleasing to God, and I'm passing the test. I'm passing his test. Can you say amen? Do you see that? So we have more control over our mind, our thoughts, our imagination than I think people realize or have realized. And we need to realize it now. We have control over ourselves. Now we just got to take it. Take it. Take it. So watch. Watch what you're watching. Don't put yourself in front of things that's going to literally create wrong thoughts, wrong imaginations, fearful thoughts. People love horror flicks. What in the world? Do you really want to? You really want that image in your mind? And the world is working very hard to put images in people's minds, to get people thinking a certain way, imagining things that are contrary to the ways of God. So you have to guard yourself. You have to guard your mind and make sure you keep your imagination pure and clean and right in the sight of God. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And then we'll be right spirit, soul, mind, and body in every area of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.